I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
God, so blue.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Shalayos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Ton, the sun, it went behind the clouds, and I think people are glad because it's already 77 degrees.
Yeah, it's getting warm quickly, and we took kids to Lagoon last week, and it was one of those over 100-degree days, and I remember it being 90 by 10:30.
Oh.
And it's just, you know you're in for it, and so any shade we can get.
We'll take those clouds, won't we? Ton, this morning I wanted to talk about ants because I'm just seeing so many ants in my yard. I'm not sure if that's what everyone's seeing. What are people seeing?
Well, ants are always, I won't call them a problem, but they become more common and the colonies build through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to be near water sources, not in the water, but places where there's loose soil and moisture and food sources. So, you know, the ants are out there. We've been getting a lot of calls about earwigs, which we've talked about and we will again.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of reports of a few people about rattlesnakes on the bench areas coming down out of the hills. Not too many.
I'd rather
that
talk about ants.
Scary
thank
one.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the ants.
A much smaller problem than a rattlesnake. But I keep seeing, like, just mounds of ants on the sidewalk next to my lawn in several different areas. And I'm wondering, first of all, can they kill the lawn?
They, not really, but where their nest is, because they're removing soil, if there's roots in those areas, the lawn in the immediate area of the nest can die.
Okay.
But they don't put off a specific toxin that kills the lawn.
But that would be the reason, if you saw a big mound of ants, that would be a reason for maybe some severe yellowing in your lawn there.
It could be right in that immediate area.
So what should we be doing about ants? I mean, I know there are beneficial properties to every insect. So what should we be doing?
So the ants themselves, if they're in areas, they're not bothering anything. So out in your garden, you know, in the back 40, you know, out in the side yard, that you may mow near them. You don't want to mow over them because ants in the pants are not a good thing. So,
or on the ankles biting you.
Yes, that's what I mean. Literally, I used to live in the Southeast and I accidentally string trimmed a fire ant mound. And
oh, no.
You want to talk about dancing with ants in your pants.
Oh,
that's how you
painful.
Do it.
Oh.
It is. It got them off pretty quick. Anyway, so they can bite. And the bites have what's called formic acid that they kind of put into your skin. And that's why the ant bites will sting a bit. So if you have problematic ants, what you would need to do is use the least harmful method to get rid of them. And one of them is actually just boiling water. you know, boil a pot of water and pour it over the mound and, in essence, poach them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one option. It's pesticide-free. You don't want to burn yourself. I hesitate sometimes because someone's going to call and say, well, you told me to boil the water and I spilled it on my foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always worry about that. The other thing that is fairly... earth-friendly is to use what are called baits. And so you can go to any local garden center and they will have different kinds of ant baits. Ants oftentimes switch up what they eat through the season depending, you know, in the spring they more go after sugars and in the fall they go more after fatty things. But you may need to try a few different baits, but what you want to do is actually have the worker ants haul the bait back to the queen and feed it to the queen. So it can take a week to 10 days for some of these to work. But if you kill the queen, you kill the colony.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one method. The Raid and Black Flag products can be a temporary solution, but what you do is kill all the ants on the surface, but you probably only got about 30% of the colony because the majority of them are going to be underground. So those can be a temporary thing. If you are having problems finding the colony, there are some tricks you can try to putting some food, you know, where you see a trail or something, and then just kind of following the ants back if you see them take the bait. But if you can't find the colony, then just try the baits alongside where you see them walking and they possibly will get into there and take it back to the queen.
Right. I like those more natural methods rather than just jumping right to the pesticide sprays or even for weed control. I mean, the boiling water can be great just for those weeds that end up growing in, you know, in the lines of the sidewalk where you have the spaces.
Yes.
In the sidewalk. And it's a lot cheaper, by the way.
It is. Water
not
is
harming the environment.
Yes.
And okay, we shouldn't say, we know water is, you know, hard to come by right now, but the amount that you're going to be using in a little pot is not significant.
It's not.
All right. I want to get right to our phone lines, Ton. We just have a ton of people waiting with questions this morning. I want to mention also that you have put up, or Carlos has put up, a wonderful article on ant control on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, so you can find out more about that there. But let's go back to our phone lines here and go to Scott in Mill Creek. Good morning, Scott. What was your question this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
I have thousands of little gray, kind of medium gray colored bugs. They're about the size of pepper flakes. They're all over my driveway and my sidewalk near the lawn. I can't see any real damage to my lawn, but I've never seen these bugs before, and I'm not sure if it's the drought, the heat, or what's causing them, or whether or not I should try to control them.
Well, if they're not doing any damage, I don't know that I would try to control them. What you need to make sure of is they're not getting into your house. So that's the one concern. If they're true bugs, which true bugs are a type of insect, they have a tendency to swarm and can get in through foundation cracks, unsealed windows, under doors, you know, things of that nature. So you need to make sure of that. But if the lawn itself is healthy, they could be there just because it's cool and moist, and that's what they need, so they're just hiding there.
Yeah, I have seen some in the house. They're little crawling bugs. They don't fly or jump, but they are all over. I've never seen them before, so I'm not sure.
I wonder if you are seeing what's called elm seed bug, and I would look that up and compare pictures. If you have elm trees in the area, especially like Siberian elm, the weedy elm that comes up around your foundation and things of that nature, then you know, you could be seeing those elm seed bugs, and then if they are getting into the home, you may need to do some selective spraying with something like a horticultural soap to try to keep them out. But the solution longer term is just to get some caulking and some weather stripping and things and see if you can seal up the house to keep them out.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate
All right.
your program.
Scott, thank you so much for listening. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be back following the break.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. We're taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Our next listener, Ton, lives in Mill Creek. Their Chinese apricot tree blooms very well each year, but they hardly get any fruit. This year, nothing. They're wondering if they should try a different variety. What about a scout or a tomcod? I'm not sure that's right. And anything they can, they're suspecting that it's late frost that's causing the problem.
Well, the Chinese apricot, depending on how you say it, is
tomato,
one that,
tomato.
Yes, it's a very late blooming apricot. And if that one isn't making it, I don't know of other varieties that would, just because it's so late. So, I mean, you could try another variety, but I might try one somewhere else in the yard. You know, especially if this one is exposed to a lot of winds or is at the bottom of a slope.
And
I might just try, you know, you could try tomcod or some of these other ones, but it's just more that you maybe want to switch locations.
Yeah, they're wondering if there's anything else they can do to protect from late frosts.
Well, I mean, to re-landscape your yard, it's really hard to do. It's easier to put a plant in a place where it's adapted than to change the yard to adapt it to a plant. But let's say that it's on a slope or something. They might be able to grow some windbreaks to keep the frost away from the tree, you know, to go around it instead. There's a few things like that you can do, but it's sure just much easier to plant it somewhere else if you can.
All right. Next person says they watched your video about killing bindweed in a Ziploc bag. They want to know if they can spray the Roundup into the bag now, or do they have to wait for cooler temperatures?
I don't know about any video. I'm just kidding. So on
no,
that
and
video,
people should check that out. If
yes.
you have problems with bindweed, go to the go to our KSL Greenhouse Facebook page and check out the video that Ton has put together.
So in this situation, the bindweed, it doesn't, the glyphosate itself isn't temperature sensitive, but the bindweed in the plastic bag, due to the greenhouse effect, will cook. And so in the video, you cover the bag with an old piece of cardboard or an old rag or something to keep the sun from cooking the actual bag, and you know, so you can avoid that greenhouse effect. So a light colored cloth or, you know, the cardboard will help shade it.
But they don't need to wait for the cooler
temperatures?
No,
they don't. Okay. They don't. Just, you know, in the evening or the morning, it's just cooler, but they can do that any time. But the critical part of this is covering that bag up with either the cardboard or the cloth to keep it cool enough so that the vines of bindweed in the strands of bindweed in the bag don't get too hot and just turn black.
All right. Our next caller is Colleen in Taylorsville. Good morning. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. We have, our neighbors have a sumac tree, and so now we have many, many little sumacs growing in our lawn. And over the years, we've just pulled them and mowed them and whatever. But in digging in, we seem to have a real tangle of roots down there. And so the lawn doesn't grow that well because there really isn't much soil. How can we get rid of them?
Well, you can't kill the sumacs outright, because it will kill the neighbors and then you could be liable. You know, I'm not a property lawyer. I don't know a lot about property rights, but the way I understand it is that if you put intentionally use something like a lawn weed killer and it impacts the neighbors, you know, it may or may not be a legal application. And so all you can really do is in essence sever the roots of the property line and put down a barrier or something to keep them out. Now, and this is where I really don't want to go down, because there are just so many caveats and intricacies to the law. There are situations, though, you may not get into trouble, but You know, that's a hard one because the sumacs go crazy where they get irrigation, and where the lawn is being irrigated is a place where they can just root all over the place. And so those sumacs are intended to be a water-wise plant that only gets watered about every 2 to 3 weeks once it's established.
So we can't, could we use Roundup to kill these little trees?
Well,
without killing the grass?
No, the Roundup would kill everything, including the grass. You would almost have to just wipe the Roundup on the actual suckers coming up. But one thing you may want to do is call the Department of Agriculture pesticide program to see if that's a legal application, because what would happen is that active ingredient in the Roundup would go through the root system and potentially harm the sumacs on the other side of the property line.
So you're telling me there really isn't anything we can do other than keep mowing?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, there are some extreme measures that you may be able to get some ice from advice from the Department of Agriculture on what you can legally do. But I'm not willing to say do that because I don't want you unintentionally getting into trouble because the neighbor's trees are dead.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
I guess we'll just mow.
All right, Colleen. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, we just have a minute here. She has oriental poppies. She wants them to come back next year. They're not doing anything right now. She's wondering if she can trim the plant down, and should she save the seeds since she wants this to come back next year, or will it come back on its own?
It should come back on its own. They go dormant mid to late summer and then come back, so don't dig it up and leave it alone. But if you want to, you can save those seeds and see what happens. Now, if you plant them and get them going, it could be a number of years before you see new flowers.
Okay. Next person, just a few seconds here. Can they apply weed and feed fertilizer this time of year? They need the fertilizer, not the weed and feed portion.
Do not put weed and feed down right now. Go get a different bag of fertilizer.
All right. And we'll be back with your calls. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. When we come back, Pam and Amy, your calls are up next.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Use your grass clippings, leaves, and some table scraps to benefit your soil. Weber Basin Water will teach you the basics of soil properties on Wednesday, July 14th. Sign up at weberbasin.com. Succulents are easy to grow and add fun and unique character to your home and garden. Learn all about succulents and create your own container with the Ogden Botanical Gardens on Thursday, July 15th from 6 to 8. You can register at ogdenbotanicalgardens.org. Join the USU Botanical Center in Kaysville and reimagine your park strips on Tuesday, July 20th. Learn more at usubotanicalcenter.org. And learn the history of plants at Thanksgiving Point's Museum of Ancient Life on July 31st. Discover the beginnings of all our green and growing beauties on planet Earth. Get all the information you need at thanksgivingpoint.org. Now this week's quick tip.
New housing developments oftentimes border local farms and ranchettes that have livestock and animals. It's not okay to feed these animals without the owner's permission, though. This includes tree trimmings and especially grass clippings. Animals' digestive systems are often not adjusted to these, and what you give them may actually be toxic. Over the last few weeks, I've heard of a few incidences where livestock was fed things they shouldn't have been and were poisoned by it, resulting in the death of many animals. Please be careful.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.